Salem Board of Education meeting. If you would call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Detweiler and myself are also present.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll sign in our public communication. Okay, we'll go to C, board work session. I brought handouts of the evaluations. I'll give to everybody before you go. I meant to give them to you the last meeting, so I just brought them back for you tonight. If you want to have a hard copy of them, that's all I have. Okay, we'll move to section D. Mr. Detweiler?
All right, a couple things to talk about. The purpose for tonight's meeting is the declaration of urgent necessity for two of our projects. Again, urgent necessity allows us to dispense with the competitive bidding rules that require you to advertise for so many weeks, receive the bids and close, open them in a closed setting. Basically, the board is declaring that we have an emergency situation. Now, what's the emergency? One is the safety factor out here, 38 and our drive coming in. In order for us to address that, we need to get the rest of the parking lot paved. Okay, so that's the emergency there. The other emergency has to do with the gymnasium, the HVAC project. If we don't get that boiler shut off, then you're going to continue to push steam up into that gymnasium and you're going to continue to possibly grow mold. Now, this past year, we had evidence that we thought was mold. We've got it cleaned up and taken care of. But if we turn that boiler back on, that water is going to get pushed right back into that building and we're going to have the same situation. So again, that's the urgent necessity. Reasoning is we need to get that boiler disconnected. We need to get the HVAC system in so we have a better turnover of air in that gymnasium. Again, most of you know it kind of smells moldy all the time anyhow. Not that there's mold there, it just smells that way. So that's the other reason for the second action item you'll have tonight. Up underneath information under the facility improvement plan, I wanted to put a little more meat on the bones tonight in regards to the PI plan. Last week you saw the major project. Tonight I wanted to go in detail over what this looks like in the total dollar amount. So I remember, I think it was Bob that talked about $300,000 and those type of things. I want to make sure you know the numbers exactly tonight before we move ahead, okay? What we gave you last week was correct. It's just I'm giving you everything that we plan to spend over the next 3 years out of the PI plan, okay? Fiscal year 15 is in the books, basically. You can see we'll end with about $819,000. I just pulled this right off of the FinSum report. Fiscal year 16 starting out $819,000, and again I'm looking at the sheet titled PI Fund Spending Plan. The budget for fiscal year 16, and what I provided to you is just a cover sheet, and then behind it you have some detail for each budget year. So for example, in professional services, fiscal 16, on the second page, HVAC project design would be about $12,000. That's what we'll pay the engineer who's going to design that. We're working with Wellers, who did the rest of the install previously, so that's their estimated cost. Miscellaneous costs for any other project design or anything we have the rest of the year, that's just miscellaneous. We always budget a little bit extra because I want to make sure that we have some resources out there in the event that we have to get some other engineering done. And you can flip on through, for example, the next one is curriculum resources, which is important. Since I've been here, we've never bought curriculum resources out of PI. So, for example, this year, science adoption requires new texts, a lot of new manipulatives, beakers, all that kind of stuff for a new adoption because everything we have is antiquated. So we're getting all new. It's about $73,000. So PI is an appropriate place to buy those things instead of taxing your general fund. That's what PI is for. Buses, textbooks, any major purchases, that's what it's for. It has to have a useful life of 5 years or more, and these do. So for the first time that I can see, curriculum resources will be bought out of the PI fund, which is an appropriate place and where they should be bought from. That's what we got the PI levy for. And so I've broken it down in 16 and 17 as to what those will look like. 18, I'm not sure yet. So I put in a placeholder on the front page there, curriculum resources in 18 with about $100,000. or $50,000, I'm sorry. So the science adoption is one of your most expensive adoptions. Buying a lot of stuff. And that's K-12. So, building improvements. If you walk down through that, some of these numbers look familiar, some will not. Roof repairs. The good news about the roof repairs, the gentleman came back and said, you don't have a failure anywhere. He did the infrared across every roof in the district. He found a lot of weak spots, which you'd expect. So he's recommended we get into a patching plan because he said you can extend the life of your roofs another 5 to 10 years if you just stay on top of it. So that's what this is. This represents anywhere from $20,000 to $24,000 a year, he said, you'll be able to stay on top of the weak spots. And that's not unusual.
Okay. Is there any chance that those weak spots will get even weaker and we'll have to have additional cost, or is the...
They will if we don't repair them. That's what this is to do.
So just to keep them patched should keep them in, yep, in a state where they'll be okay for the next...
He's provided us a layout of, here's your weakest spots. And I basically told him, I said, we got about $25,000 a year, because to be quite honest, that's under the competitive bid limit, so we can spend right up to that. I told him, keep it under that for a year, and he said, that'll work fine, because you've got anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000 a year that we need to address every year, each building. And that's to stay ahead of the weak spots. So he can tell if it's really bad or if it's just kind of weak. You know, he can tell by the infrared how bad it is. So that's for us to get into a repair cycle. So we don't have to do a roof, which, you know, those can run anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000. So this is good money spent to extend the lives of our buildings.
That was going to be my next question. How much would it cost to replace or fix those weak spots, to beef them up a little bit while we're doing this? I mean,
he's doing. He's not just like going to lay something over it. Where the weak spots are, especially in intermediates where he's going to start, he cuts out a section and then he completely rebuilds it and then overlays all of it.
Gotcha.
So it's not a... That's why it's $24,000.
So we're taking care of the weak spots as well as making sure, yep, we get a new roof to cover all,
yeah,
that stuff.
My comfort level is knowing that somebody who's an expert with infrared lights where they can check and see all this is up there monitoring it. Because I just didn't know. We had no idea if we had one ready to cave in or not. He said, you're not there at all. So that was good news.
There wasn't the high school leaking.
There's leaks, but those aren't usually from... They're usually from around your vents and things like that that's causing the leaks, and they run
so
in
not
and
get
your
roof.
Earth. Yeah, right. It's not like
the
roof
it's
is leaking.
The roof, but it's the...
Right.
Okay.
You don't have a big crack.
Okay.
That he said, you don't have any of that. You just have a lot of weak spots, and that's what he's talking about.
That's a weak spot. Okay.
Yeah. So I was pretty happy with that news. The gymnasium, we had about $81,000 total. And we said that the tricky point is the install, the labor. It is more than what we anticipated. The first quote I got was $114,000. I told them our budget's $100,000. So if we can do it for that, fine. If we can't do it, we won't do it. So Weller's has two different vendors, and we have another one beside Weller's that's giving us a quote. And I've told all three of them our budget's $100,000. So I'm going to think miraculously they're going to come in around $100,000. So I put it in as $110,000 as a placeholder. My goal is to keep it at $100,000, which is still more than I told you guys at the last meeting by about $19,000. So, replacement windows. We are replacing windows in the intermediate building. We're doing the principal's office, which has windows that have failed. We're doing the windows in the office right here because they failed. You can stick your finger through them. And we're doing room number 2, which is where the new furniture is going, because literally we have today water running in the classroom into the middle of the floor. So those will be replaced by Rosati. Okay. They did the last round. So sewage plant upgrades, we talked about those. Those are still on target. If you get done here tonight quick enough, we'll go over to the intermediate cafeteria and you can take a look at that because the wall is out, the lights are down, you can see where the new door is going to go. The exterior doors to high school have been ordered. Fieldhouse doors have been ordered. Elementary painting, we're trying to get our third quote. So we have 3 quotes for that. Security cameras, wireless, those are still on hold. And then miscellaneous, $67,000. And again, that's a placeholder for those things that we just don't know or if what's going to happen. And then 17, you've got the major items listed again. and 18 is just a placeholder overall.
So with the replacement windows, you plan on replacing like part of them this year, part of them next year, and any more that we have? I mean, how many windows do we have total?
To be fair, Boone was on that cycle already. He was replacing right about $24,000, whatever that would buy us a year, because it's under the bid limit. And then you can select your vendor, which is Rosati, is who we've been going with instead of Pella, because those are Pella windows, and that's why they're all failing at this point. Because those weren't good windows. Not that Pella's not, but those weren't.
How long have the windows that are failing now been in?
They've been in about 16 years. So, I mean, I think the problem is we didn't caulk and do all the things you need to do to maintain a window that has aluminum one side and wood on the other. And Larry would be the first one to tell you that. They should have had Pella coming back in inspecting them on an annual basis, and we didn't do that. So, but we're doing as much as we can through Rosati each year. That's usually about four sets of windows a year.
I was going to say that's what, like between $3,000 and $5,000 per window?
Yeah. And you'll see if you walk over there in a little bit, you can literally put your finger all the way through. That's where we had kids just a month ago. So then that takes us over to, flip to the next one, the site improvements, which is really what we're talking about tonight. You've got the high school paving patching and the junior high back door paving. If you don't know it, the back door to the junior high, the concrete is basically non-existent. It's gravel back there now. So we've got people walking from pavement across busted up concrete to the back door. Actually, if you remember, 2 years ago, Don tripped and fell back there, Swanger, because he was walking out, pushing something, and he just fell flat on his face, which wasn't his fault. It was because the concrete caught what he was pushing out there. So it's not a good situation. We know that. The bus garage lot paving, I've listed that pricing. High school lot seal coating, intermediate paving, intermediate walking path, concrete barriers, lot lighting, band platform, and miscellaneous. Now, the reason why this one's important, because this ties into what we're looking at tonight. And if we would go ahead and flip to the traffic flow project, because it basically all falls underneath the site improvement. Now, this is the paving quotes we've gotten so far. And Jim, I've laid all these up here. If you want to, you're certainly allowed to have them there up there from the public.
Okay.
I don't want to shortchange you there, give you some of that spice of this meeting. I apologize that intermediate is spelled wrong several times, but I've listed all the quotes we've gotten so far. First line is intermediate walking path. Again, that is the connector from the back lot to the south end of the intermediate and elementary. So if you walk out this back door down here, and you want to go to the intermediate, you can, but if you want to go around the intermediate and go to the back lot, you cannot at this point. Okay? This would allow us to do that, and that's important in a moment when we talk about the layout, because we might have our staff parking in that back. Okay? So you can see the differences in pricing. Harsh came in the cheapest. Some of these guys were just out of this world. And again, this is for just a paved walking path. The gray, as some of them combine them up and some of them split it out.
Is that the same type of sub base and grading it out and hauling off the dirt and everything? It's the whole deal.
That's everything.
So it's per code and per
spec. Yeah. Yep. That's why when we got Cox was the first one we got, and Larry about choked on that. He said that shouldn't be more than $3,000. And you can see Sherlock came in close to that and Harsh came in under, but and the grays is intermediate parking lot and the overlay, intermediate cut down in stone, and intermediate demo in concrete. Now, the reason why it's broken out like that is some of them wanted to just pave over the concrete back there by the entrance coming in, and some wanted to tear the concrete out, put new concrete down. And so I've tried to make it so it's easy to understand as far as what we're, to make it apples to apples. So the all-in price in gray includes everything. Okay. The yellow, that's the high school entrance. Now, one thing I want to make sure you know about the high school entrance, as the wintertime starts coming, if you haven't been up there, the concrete raises about 3 inches. So when you're coming out of the building, there's a big lip right in front of you. And Dr. Unger, he wanted me to bust it out this year because literally kids were coming out and tripping. And there really wasn't any way to keep it from it, because if they were going to come out the front door to get on the bus, they got to walk out that way. So you had this lip sticking up there. And then, so the only way we can deal with that is if we tear that concrete out and put a new slab in there. Okay?
Is that just for the entry, or is that for the walk as well?
That, and I did just misspeak. On the concrete proposal you'll see here in a moment, that's for the front entryway to the high school doors, the concrete work. This high school entrance, I'm sorry, he split it out to where this is for the drive coming in, going to the back of the high school. That drive is failing. If you've noticed, there's a lot of potholes as you go around to the back. That's to basically seal or to pave over top of all that. Okay? We don't think we need to do that. We think we can grind out, down, and patch those holes. All three of the other vendors said we can just repair that. We don't need to replace it. Cox wanted to replace it, so that was a little high for him. Asphalt repairs to the rest of the high school lot. There's a lot of potholes. That's to go around and fix all those repairs, fill in the cracks, all that good stuff. The junior high rear door, that's for paving the backside at the junior high instead of putting concrete down. Okay. Crack fill and seal coat and restripe. That's filling in cracks, seal coat, and then restriping your parking spots. You can see the differences they gave for all the areas. And then the bus garage. You see below, I noted in blue, that it includes the removal of concrete and replacing with pavement. So that's what Cox wanted to do, and that's what McMillan wanted to do. Very expensive. Sherlock wanted to just pave over the existing concrete. It's a lot cheaper, but you also get moisture in between your concrete and your asphalt, and the asphalt's going to fail. Plus, that asphalt, when you park a bus on it, jack it up, and that motor's sitting there, that jack is going right down to the asphalt. So everyone, three out of the four we talked to said, don't do it. Just put the concrete back in place, because that's why you had it in front of the bus garage, to support the weight of the buses. So that's where Harsh came back and said, we won't pave over that because we can't guarantee the work. He said, get some other contractor to put new concrete down, and he'll pave around that. That $17,980 underneath Harsh represents the best quote we got for laying concrete down over there in front of the bus garage. So that way you've got kind of apples to apples across the board there. So the planned budget is $136,806. That's what, I want to make sure for you right spot. And to tell you how quickly we've been moving on this, this was this afternoon I got the last two quotes. So I knew they'd be coming. I'd be trying to get this together for you. So we had budgeted about $136,806. Harsh is at $139,000, but that did not include that concrete work. That budget is $136,000. That's in a separate section. That miscellaneous of $65,000 we have in the site improvements budget, that's where that comes from, the $17,980. So what we're looking at is Sherlock, Cox, Harsh, and McMillan. Harsh is the cheapest out of all those. Harsh actually laid the asphalt for the back parking lot anyhow. And it probably held up as good as any we've got. So it's not cracked and any of that good stuff. So if the board approves the urgent necessity, we'll most likely go with Harsh, and we'll give them the green light tomorrow so they can start July 1st. He's also the only one that could start the 1st of July because he just completed a big project and he's available. So that worked well in our plans. Okay.
That question, Tim.
Sure, go right ahead.
Do we know what's causing the concrete at the high school entrance to rise 3 inches?
We do not. Larry said that it's worse now than it's ever been. And Larry he's been there since the doors opened. He doesn't know if it's the settling of the building, doesn't know if there's water underneath of it, he's just not sure.
Pouring new concrete there is going to resolve the issue, or is it still going to exist? I mean, if we don't know what's causing it.
Well, no, what will do it, though, is they're going to dig all the way down and tear everything out. And when they get down there, that's when they're going to look at it and say, well, you've got water coming in, we need to put tile. They're going to evaluate at that point. It could be more expensive. So, again, until you actually pull it out, it's hard to tell what's causing it to come up.
Well, that was my concern. Yeah. We don't know what's causing it.
That's a good point. But until we get in there, we don't know. Now, we can, you can do some really cheap things too. You can grind the concrete down, so when they're coming out, when it's not lifting due to the freeze, it's going to be lower. So, I mean, that.
I'm not interested in half-assed fixes.
I didn't think you were. And I wasn't insinuating. I'm just saying,
yeah.
To me, the best way of doing it is we tear it out, have the experts look at it, evaluate it, and then fix it.
I know Harsh is local. I haven't heard the other folks.
Cox is
courthouse.
Out of.
That's what I was thinking, like the courthouse.
They're owned by Anderson now, aren't they? They owned by Anderson now.
We've used Harsh before, though, right? And they've done a nice job.
Okay. Yep.
Cox is expensive. McMillan is expensive. Sherlock wasn't bad. That's
he had a courthouse. Yeah, Sherlock got a courthouse.
He's fairly local. There's another one, Dawson, out of Columbus, that they wanted to quote us too, and they came down and they were very expensive. So
yeah.
I've just never heard of McMillan.
Yeah, Harsh is the one out of Columbus, right?
I haven't heard of any of them. Yeah, Cox, please. I've never heard of McMillan.
Are you shocked by that?
Sherlock's Washington Courthouse. McMillan is Columbus. He's on Sullivan Avenue. Harsh is out of London. Cox is Washington Courthouse. Okay. And then when we get to the graphic here of the layout, we can talk more about what exactly things will look like. That's one piece of it. HVAC is the other piece. We just talked about it. Talked about the quotes that we're getting. I should have all three quotes tomorrow. My commitment to the board is that will not exceed $110,000. If it does, it's a no-go. So that's on the bubble. If they come in at 115, I'm going to say nope unless you can get to 110, because that's what my budget is. So I've already told them 100, so give me 10,000 as a leeway. That's those two. Finish flipping on through here. The equipment, furniture. We've got the classrooms, libraries. There's 9 offices yet to be outfitted. High school, central office. Those are not the treasurer and superintendent's offices. I said we're always last in line. It should be. And then miscellaneous, $33,000. Fiscal year 17, and we also have budget $75,000 for classroom. Again, to Ken's point, it'll take a long time to get all the classrooms done at this pace, but we have to get it done. We just can't not do it. So, bus replacement is interesting. We talked, I think I threw out at the last meeting, or the one before that, about financing. In lieu of that, what I proposed is this next year, we got the one bus yet to come in for this year that we boarded. It should be in August. That we're paying for carrying over the appropriation in the next year. Fiscal year 16, one new bus, one new van. Those were short vans. 17, 2 new buses, one new van. And in 18, 2 new buses. Okay? So you look across there, it's 2, 4, 5, 6 buses. Over the 6 new buses for the next 3 years. So we need 8. We'll get there. And then auditor and treasurer fees, you don't really care about that. That's, we can't control that, so that's the fee you charge. Then I provide some graphics to show you what we're doing.
Sorry. Why does that come out of PI fund?
They collect those, the PI levy.
Okay.
They take it out of there before you get it.
Yeah, that's their fee for the
levy. So that's the PI fees
because
of our levy.
Yeah, we have to book it, basically, like you said. They take it out.
They say thank you. And
I thought it was like our annual audit that we typically have.
It's a collection fee. And then you've got some graphics there to just kind of show how that looks over time. I'm trying to get more of, I don't want to abuse the PI fund, but we need to spend it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Folks are giving us over $500,000 a year. They expect us to utilize that to eliminate the problems we've got. Not just sit on it. And right now, like I said, we'll end this year around $800,000. Okay, that's a year and a half's worth. And it's not like we didn't spend any money. We spent $500,000 in 15. That's why you see 16 a big jump, but we've got a lot of big projects we want to get done to deal with some issues, and then we start scaling back down. And my commitment is to never fall below $250,000 in PI at the end of the year. That's your oopsie-daisy, forgot about, something blew up, fell off something, you've got that money sitting there. And don't forget, we still have $550,000 in our
budget reserve.
So, you know, between the two, $800,000 in emergency money. So, that's more flesh on the PI bones. And I think, Dave, I gave you a copy of the PowerPoint that the board saw at the last meeting. Gives you a little more background, too. Okay. Another piece I had was the tennis court conversion. Parking is at a premium, we know that. One of the obvious places when you look at the schematic of the entire campus is the tennis court. Now, right now, it's a tennis court that the last 2 years hasn't been used for tennis. 3 years ago, we did have a boys team, I believe. We've been investigating, if we have kids sign up this year for tennis, can we still provide them with the sport if we don't have the tennis court here on site? The answer to that is, right now, yes. We've been in conversation with a neighboring district. They said, certainly we can use our courts. You just have to go on the off nights when we're playing. So in the chance that we have a tennis team come up, we have a place for them to play. Okay. That being said, the tennis court, we've talked with the band directors, as well as she spoke with some of her boosters. Where would they like to practice? Do they want to practice behind the junior high, where they are now, or do they want to practice on the tennis court in that parking lot there? Most bands, a lot of bands, practice on those lots because it's not muddy. You don't have to worry about sloppy fields like they do right now behind the junior high. Renee came back to us and said, we just have to measure off the tennis court to see if it's the right width. It was. It's exactly what she wanted. She wanted 60 feet. And it's actually 60 by 80. So it's exactly what she wanted. So then we said, okay, where would you want your platform? The platform location, if you know, there's two sets of bleachers on the south side of the tennis court beside the little building that sits there. That's where her tower would go. So it'd be facing Linson Road. And then the students, of course, would be practicing towards her. So that's, when I say conversion, I'm looking at the board saying, that's the idea and the direction we want to go. We want to make that parking lot for our events, not only for the stadium, but also for the junior high and high school, because it's just a walk right up the hill. And as you know, for graduation and whatever it is, it's mass chaos out here. And if we can have a parking lot here between the two, I think it would do well for us to do that. The fencing that's around the tennis court that's only 3 years old now, one of the contractors said, if you give me the fencing, I'll put your fence around the tower, the platform, for you. I'll set it in concrete, do everything you need, so, and it, as long as I can get the rest of the fence. And they won't charge us to take it out. They just want the fencing. So that's one proposal we've gotten. So now we've talked to the other two contractors and said, will you do the same thing? And they've come back and said yes. So we have everything we need to do it. It's just a matter of whether we want to pull the trigger and say, okay, we are going to have tennis, but it's not going to be on our site. So it moved the way of, you know, swimming or bowling or any of those other sports. Does anybody have heartburn over doing that?
I don't want to get rid of tennis courts, but I'm only one voice.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't want to get rid of tennis courts.
Remember, we have a team. I want to have it out here. I don't want our kids to have to go to London
well,
to do tennis.
We have them go other places. I mean, we have the lacrosse. I mean, well, not necessarily lacrosse, but we have the swimming girl go to Springfield. We have other teams do other
That's
events.
That's one exception, though, Kelly, because we don't have a pool. There's not too many other schools that have
and bowling.
Pools, so they have to do that.
Yeah.
Same with golf. We don't have a golf course out here,
right.
But
golf and bowling. Yeah. So I would look at tennis kind of like that, only because if I had two athletes out of 1,200 students or four athletes possibly, potentially. I've just thrown potentially.
It really is balancing the need of additional parking with that sport on site. And that's a tough one for me too, because I'd love to have all of our facilities on site. But
right.
We have something that exists as a tennis court that's usable as a tennis court.
Well, but see, that's the hard problem because it's not usable as a tennis court.
There's cracks 3 inches wide.
And it's
there's a crack in it 3 inches wide all the way across. So we have to have I've got to have it either resurfaced and repainted as a tennis court or resurfaced and used as a parking lot.
Do you have to have the fence around it to use it as a tennis court for league or whatever?
Well, the problem you got is if you don't have that, you've got also the poles for the netting.
Right.
So if you want to use it as a parking lot, see,
you can't double it.
They've got a different type of surface on that too. It's a
different kind of paint surface.
I have never seen a tennis court that didn't have a fence around it, and part of the reason for that is the balls are going everywhere, so
and they still go everywhere.
Dave, I agree with your point, but we can't have a track meet here either because we don't have a functioning track. So you have 50 kids, boys and girls combined, that cannot have a home meet due to our facilities. So.
But why can't we have a track meet here?
Because the
two interior lanes have such big gaps and holes in the rubber surface, they won't let the kids run on the first two lanes.
And to have a district tournament or a league tournament, you have to have 8 lanes, and we don't have 8 lanes.
I know because I walk it almost every day, and on the visitor side, there's gaps in the rubber this wide down through there. And literally, if you hit that on cleats, you wipe out.
This would seem to me to be a perfect use
that
for a PI lane.
That
that's a subject we need to discuss.
So I'm just saying, there's other... I'm not just talking about tennis. I mean, there's a lot of other sports that don't necessarily. We know we don't have the best facilities.
And the thing about the 8 lanes, that's not true.
It is true. I talked to the league guys.
You can't get a state title or you can't hold a state record on a 6-lane track. But we researched that when we put that in. You can run all your meets on a 6-lane track.
Your meets, you
can. But if you do something extra extraordinary out there, is state won't qualify or
the
acknowledge
leagues.
It. The league's the only one will acknowledge it.
Right.
That's the only difference between 6-lane and 8-lane.
Well,
Matt basically said our league would not run on our track.
There's only two schools in our league
the
currently.
The old league or the new league?
The old one.
Right?
So what happened to the track?
So the old.
I can't answer that. I don't know. It's failed.
I just think our facilities, regardless, it doesn't. I'm just saying the tennis courts are, I think, the least of one of our worries is what my opinion is, it because there's a lot of other things we don't do here that if we could do facilities the way I think we all would love to see the facility look, we'd have new facilities.
But one of the keys on that, Kelly, is if you get rid of it, it's never coming back. And north or west of that building, what'd you say? Good.
Good if it comes back. What do you mean?
I said it'll never come back.
He says it'll never come back.
I thought you said it was coming back.
I was like,
she really hates tennis.
Yeah.
No.
Be careful with it.
No.
You know, we've got that out there on the west side of that building, which I've wanted something done for years and we could do something with, and we don't. Why can't, if you're going to extend parking, why can't we extend parking over there?
Where are you talking?
The west side of the high school building.
That's where
you've got a dead lot sitting there.
That's
remember we talked about trying to get this soccer, when we had soccer started up and they wanted their own field, we said, well, why don't we try to investigate that? Boone was dead set against trying to fix that. We don't do anything with that lot.
I'd love to. We had them quote that for us, by the way. It was $100,000 to level it off, gravel, and put pavement down. Maybe we want to do that. But again, you're farther away from your junior high and your stadium. That's why we kept looking at the tennis court because of its central location.
And maybe you could put a tennis court in a different, more convenient location. I don't know.
That would be ideal.
And a nice tennis court.
Right.
Because that's, how many courts does that have? Four?
Two.
So if you want to talk about having a tennis court, wouldn't you ideally want to have four?
I don't know.
More?
I know we cannot play on that court.
Right.
Right now.
You can't run on the track, you can't play on the court, and I mean, so I think that...
That really bothers me that you can't run on the track.
Well, we haven't been able to run on the track. We didn't have a home meet last year.
Right.
We spent a lot of money on that to have it fail.
It's about $120,000 to grind that up and replace it. So again, I'm trying to prioritize these things I know that we need to do.
Keep throwing more on them.
Can we bring up some more? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to bring up extra stuff to do. I'm just trying to point out that we just have a lot of facilities problems.
I have missed the last couple meetings on the athletic council, but has Matt said what happens or how long you go without a tennis team before you no longer consider it a sport? Because like you said, it's been 2 years since we've had a tennis team.
Right.
Is it going to go 5 years before it's no longer a sport? And I'm not saying we shouldn't offer tennis if we have kids that want to do it. I'm just saying.
It's 5 years.
Okay.
So I say we're balancing against the many, against the few, and I don't like to do that against kids, but.
What you got to do for the overall district?
So that's the tennis court conversion. That's not something we have to do right now. But what we wanted to do right now was build the band platform, and we want to build it once.
Are you sure?
Because to build it, it's going to have to be heavy duty. That's why it's going to be about $15,000. Steel girders, because they won't build it any other way because of the wind. Was it last year they said that somebody was killed in Oklahoma?
It's been like 2 years, I think, but it was a scissor lift.
So we're not going to put Renee up on scissor lift anymore, and she knows that.
So where are you going to put this band platform in if you don't put it down there?
If you don't put it there, you put it behind the junior high where they practice now. And it would be facing
off the back of the parking lot, facing
right,
that open.
Off the back of the parking lot, facing towards the stadium.
Towards the west.
The problem you've got there, she's also east, got limited east space, because as you get closer to the stadium, it's a cliff. It was never graded and leveled off. It literally drops off as a sharp incline there.
And that ground's very choppy, as it is anyway.
There was no topsoil put on that. It's just hard as a rock. But when it rains, the water stands on it. So I'm trying to address that need. They need a spot that's better than where they're at.
Yeah.
We don't have tennis as far as for kids that want to play it right now. So you take that spot for the band who needs a better spot. That's what you're trying to balance out.
Okay, so from where I'm sitting right now, the way I see it, I don't want to do anything with tennis court until we fix that track. The other thing is, if you're going to go look at the expanding, there's another spot right there you're talking about. Have you even looked at the expanding that parking lot in the back out so that area we're talking about is choppy and it's cut off? Mm-hmm. You can make that her area up there.
We have. We can
make
that
an extra parking lot.
You can extend that parking lot. We can do that.
And then her platform can go, but the cost's the same.
Well, that would be something we'd have to look at down the road.
But it's not. That's not something.
Cut that out of there right now.
We can't wait down the river.
I've got to fix that track. Right. I'm kind of disappointed we're just hearing tracks like that. I didn't know anything about that. We spent a ton of money to put that thing in, and now it's falling apart. Why is it falling apart?
I'll tell you this much. I've been walking on it for 5.5 years since I've been back, and those holes every year have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the problem is, it was known that it was going to be over $100,000, and we weren't going to spend that much on the track. You're asking me, I'm telling you. And I don't have a problem with doing a lot.
Was that known by your predecessor, and he just wasn't telling us?
Like I said, it was known that the track had failed spots in it. So, the question is, at the last two meetings ago, I brought up the subject of financing some things. Now, I'm not one to put us in debt either, but you can do some financing if you want. Now, if you do this budget we've got laid out, you've only got $250,000 after the year, fiscal year 18, and that's when PI runs out. We have to renew. You can finance longer than that, but then you have to obligate general fund as well in the event that you don't pass your PI. You can obligate general fund. We don't even have to use PI. You can say, okay, let's spend $50,000 a year for the next 10 years, and we'll fix the track, and we'll put a new place for the band, and we'll put a new tennis court somewhere else, or do whatever combination makes sense. But again, I'm working with them. We've got this much money right now. Because if we don't want to, if you don't want to finance anything.
Okay, and I understand that.
That's where I'm at.
Before we go any farther, now that we're talking about this, there's some other things we need to discuss.
Okay.
That's come up on this that you brought to me tonight. That these other three board members need to learn real fast.
Okay.
The reason there was six lanes put on that track is because we were guaranteed that it wouldn't fall apart like the old track was. We fought to put eight lanes in there in case we had a wreck. Everybody told us. Larry was involved in this, and everybody else said, no, your base is better on the six lanes. We don't have to cut that out. That's why we spent that money only on six lanes, because they said that would hold up. Now you're telling me we can't even run our own track because it's falling apart, but we're going to put these other things in. Right now, to me, I want them to understand we're being told things every year, regardless of who's sitting in those chairs. And then when someone else comes in, we find out we spent money for nothing. Because now I can't even run the track, or we're going to spend money on something else all of a sudden. I want to back up real quick before we start spending a bunch of money.
Sure.
I want to find out what needs to be fixed that we already have.
To be fair, how old is the track now?
That track can't be 6 years old.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it can't be much older than 5 years.
I've been here five and a half years, and it was in when I came.
You weren't here when we put the stadium in, right?
No.
We put that track in right after that stadium.
Okay. Yep. So.
So it has to be.
Six to 8 years old. The useful life generally is 10 years, and you have to maintain it.
But you can't even tell me we've got 10 years, or even close to 4 years out of that, if you're getting holes in that thing that big. We were guaranteed. Has anybody contacted that company and seen what the warning was on that?
We've had them out. They were out last year, and they gave a quote to repair and to replace, and they came out this year with a quote to repair and or replace. So,
I mean, I'm mad, but I'm embarrassed because we were told that wasn't going to happen. That's why there's six lanes out there. That's what I'm trying to explain to these guys. Just to keep fresh in your mind, we're buying things and we're being told by people, oh, you got nothing to worry about.
Right.
Now look, we can't even run a track. You said we had to be able to run it in the last 2 years.
And the only reason I know is I just said, why don't we have any home track meets? I don't know anything about the damage. But so I'm just saying the facilities, when I look at that, I go, well, we can't use the track, and the tennis court's this, and the parking's that, and, you know, we've got other, we're not even talking about the traffic flow.
You know, and then we spent the money on the stands. We can get all our money back for that. I mean, I'm getting told things, and we agree on stuff, and then it never comes full circle to benefit the board and the school district.
All I can do is tell you what I know, Dave. This is...
And I understand, and I'm not mad at you guys.
No, I know. I'm just trying to make sure.
I feel like I don't want to do anything else until we fix what we already have now.
Yes. We have to do something.
The parking lot down here has to be taken care of.
Yeah.
That's why it was number one all along. This has to be taken care of. This end of campus is number one. From there down is number two. The one commitment I made was to the band to have their platform. It's just a matter of where we're going to locate it.
Because that's a safety issue, right?
Yeah, right.
Because what they had before was...
The director, I'm not going to let her get up on the scissor lift.
Well, they're standing on top of the building.
Right. With winds. Out here, right? We don't
just
have
on the
okay. And, but it's her preference.
Can I march on the park?
Can I? So you talk to her, and I just want to go back to... Her preference would be?
Well...
The tennis courts? I mean, if she had to choose, if that was her choosing, that's her preference.
Yes.
That space is her... That's perfect
for her.
She
looks at it as it's a all-weather practice area.
Okay.
So that's why she said I'd much rather be on, and it also is somewhat dedicated, because we won't be parking there during the day. Students won't be parking there during the day. It's for event parking and the band practice field. That's
closer to the football field.
Right,
too.
And the band room.
Out there.
They walk right out of the band room, go down the hill, and right there's where they practice, and they come right on over to the stadium. That's why. The location-wise, it makes more sense for the band. Now, that hurts tennis.
That we don't have any participation in today.
Correct.
That we may have, but we don't know.
When do you plan on purchasing the van?
The van platform?
The van. Because you have a bus and a van in 16. Tennis season is what, the spring? Is that right?
It doesn't matter. You got to do something about those vans,
fall.
Ken.
Yeah.
Because those vans are running kids. It's not just running kids after.
We are short of vans.
We're actually short two vans.
Don't we have some kids that we have to bus out of the district for their needs, special needs kids, and those vans are going to hold up forever, so we got to get another van.
No, no, I don't. I'm just saying, I mean, if we're going to do that with the tennis court, for 2016, I can say, okay, let's go ahead and use that neighboring district's court for 16. But in 17, I mean, let's see how many people we have that are going to be doing tennis in 17's budget. Maybe we can do something about and the tennis court and stuff like that.
Change what's budgeted for those years?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yes. I mean, if we need to, we can put the tennis court where the band is practicing now, for instance. And then, so just like have them trade places a little bit. That'll give us a year that we can take care of the issues that we've got with the parking now. But then in 17, really focus on, you know, and I don't know what the quote came in for the track repair stuff. But let's take a look at that, because I think we're doing a disservice to the kids that are in track now, and we're going to lose kids to track if they know that we're not playing at home. You know, and we spent all that money to get it in there. And I'm not necessarily saying that we should go with the same company. If they did a crappy job the first time around, what makes it that they're going to do a better job?
I think the biggest problem with the track, as I saw it, I've seen a brand new track put in, and it's the rubber is very thick. When you walk on this track down here, it's paper thin. So I don't know if it was a thin layer they put down originally or if it just wore away. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We need to, because that track, when they brought that in and we voted on it, what we were supposed to get was to last us like 10 years. And it was a far better grade than apparently what's out there.
Well, if you walk on it, you'd be disappointed. I mean, if you really got out there and started looking as you walked around it, you would be very disappointed because it is paper thin in spots.
I think we need to deal with that soon. You know, maybe not this year, but for crying out loud, I didn't realize it was that bad. You know, I didn't know we didn't have any meets there.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
You know, and we spent a lot of money on that. We had a lot of discussion on it, and we had a lot of, you know, which company is going to be better for. And we had three or four companies that we could pick, and we thought we'd pick the best one for the job with the extra drainage that was needed and all the other stuff that was needed, and to find out that, you know, 4 or 5 years later, it's starting to fall apart and getting worse.
If he's been seeing
the problems for the last two years or so that he's been walking on it,
okay.
It's only going to be 4 or 5 years.
Three years ago, I stood out there and watched him run track. I mean, I knew we ran track out there that.
We did 3 years ago.
We haven't had the last 2 years. That's just not right.
Yeah.
There had to be some kind of warning on that. I thought it was sport stretch.
Yeah, I was, you know, when I was disappointed about it too, but then, you know, I do know that the money came in and it was really high, and I'm just, you know, we have an aging facility that's
needs
a lot of work. We have a lot of priorities.
There's a lot of things that we need to take care of, but, you know, one of the things that...
But that was one of them I thought was taken care of.
That's what I thought. We all figured, the board at the time, all figured, boy, we're going to be in good shape for a good 15, 20 years, because those are some of the estimates that we had.
And like I said, that's why we voted to go with a little bit better, is what we were told, go with six lanes, then have to cut those other two in there. They said, you know, the only thing you can't do, you can run all your track meets there, you just can't have any state records on that. It'll just be league records if someone would break a record down.
Well,
you know, we can debate this forever, but what concerns me more than anything is that we're in the middle of talking about a tennis court when the board learns we have a problem with the track. Doesn't that concern anybody else?
That greatly bothers me.
I'll
apologize in that I assumed you guys knew because, you know, it never come up for any reason that, hey, the track is not usable. And that's been 2 years we haven't used it. So,
well, Matt should have said something. I mean, to some extent, Matt should have come in and said...
That is direct board business. This board should have been informed when it couldn't have been used the first year.
And Kelly, I feel bad because your boys have been running track and they haven't been able to use our facility.
They do use it for practice.
Well, they practice on it, yeah.
Yeah, they practice on it, sure.
Let me do this.
I got it all derailed.
You're okay. We have the quotes from this year for repair and replacement. I'll bring those. I can bring them at the July 9th for you guys to consider, look at it, or I can bring it to the regular meeting.
July 9th is just executive session, correct?
Yeah, but he can email it to us, or he'll give us information.
Just take a look at that, you know.
I like Ken's idea, you know, we do what we do this year and maybe reprioritize over the next couple of years how you have it laid out, which is nice that you laid it out for us so we have an idea of what the future looks like and where we can get our money. Do you think we should finance something?
It depends on the priorities. Again, if you've got the track thing here and it's to repair it, you know, hypothetically $50,000 and they won't guarantee that it's not going to continue to falter, or you do $125,000 and they'll guarantee it for 10 years and put down the right thickness. I mean, those are the kind of things you have to consider. That's what I'll bring on the night. Could we do some things? Absolutely. We could finance some things and do a lot more than what we've got laid out, although I've got $1 million laid out for next year alone. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. The other thing.
We have a lot.
Keep in mind, too, I know it was mentioned that the finance obligate the general fund. 2 years, we're fine. After that, you know, potential personal property tax, they're really making a big push for districts to start coming to that realization that that money may not be here in 2 years. That's $500,000 a year. So
that could just make our shortfall that much sooner.
We don't need to start adding, I guess, anything extra to the general fund is what I'm saying, I guess, if we can help it.
That concerns me, too, that, you know, our five-year forecast doesn't look too as great as what we once had.
I agree.
No.
You know, and to try to finance against that and then to try to get levies passed to cover that, I think it's going to be difficult. You know, we've had a hard time with new levies in the district for, you know, quite a long time. You know, we have to think about the history of what our voters are giving us and at the same time try to keep up what we've got. You know, I mean, ideally, the bond issue would have passed, you know, several years ago. We wouldn't be in this situation. We would be able to have the 8-lane track and the great football field and everything that we wanted, but the voters had repeatedly said, you know, ain't going to happen on our dime, which is unfortunate. So we've got to deal with what we've got and what comes first. Obviously, the safety of the kids, which is what this project is going to do. After that, it's like, what else can we do for the kids? It's got to be the track. It's got to be tennis if there's a team this year. And if we see a team coming for next year, we've got to be able to do something for the kids and have those facilities, like they've said, on our grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, take pride in what we've got.
How many accidents have we had out here and front of this building? I mean, we're talking about safety.
There were at least 5 I knew of in the last 3 months of school on Linson between here and the high school.
What? I mean, I don't know the background of these accidents. What was it called?
Tail ending people, or rear ending people is mostly what happened. Because people are trying to turn and they stop short. And that's really what happened most of the time.
So it really had nothing with people pulling out onto. Or did it? Pulling out onto Linson?
One of them was. I remember one of our kids pulled out and got blasted. So the safety factor down here has nothing to do with it's the corner up here where the bus is backed up right up against Linson, and there's kids walking out here and walking up to the bus to get on. So as you come off of Linson, you're turning around a bus and you can't see on the other side. And if you're not paying attention and there's a kid right there, the kid's going to get nailed. And I've been out there, and the principal stands there, and the aide is standing there, and you got the driver on the bus, but the principal's on the radio, and the aide is grabbing these kids, and if this kid walks over here 3 feet, he's in the lane of traffic. That's just not acceptable. So, I mean, if that's what you're talking about, Bob, that's the concern I have as far as safety issue. Between Linson and between the high school and our parking lot down here, that's not my concern. My concern is right out there in that one spot. And it's a lot of work to take care of.
Right here.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, I understand that.
We'll talk more about that when we got a different layout for you, but that's why it's number one, priority number one.
Yep. It has to be about the safety of the kids.
Plus, you've got a high level of frustration with parents trying to drop off, parents trying to come into the school,
bus drivers, and I don't blame them for being frustrated because you're scared to death you're going to run over somebody or somebody's going to hit you. I mean, it's just, it's literal, it's organized chaos out here at the end of the day.
We're just lucky something hasn't happened worse than that.
Most of the cars won't give a bus an inch.
So it looks like, other than the spaces right along Linson, that's dedicated for just the buses.
I want to talk about that as a whole.
Okay.
I want to stay focused on, and I don't know, Bob, you're trying to link that issue to something else. That's why I didn't cut you off. But.
No, not at all.
Let's talk about traffic flow.
Looking at spending money and resources, can we do something to cut back here? Which we may be a little late in the game since we have all the quotes. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe there's something different we can do here. Save us some money that can be applied somewhere else.
Let's look. Can we go on to that part, traffic flow, and propose?
One thing I will say about this information, you're getting all the information.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past it was piecemeal. It was, you know, here's what I want to get done, and that's what you saw. And I'm trying to give you everything that needs done, and you can help decide what that is. It's more, this is more detailed than even what we did in the past with the impact. So.
Going back to this, I'm not opposed to spending this fund down even more. I mean, that's what the money's for, to do things like the track and things. Why do we keep $300,000 in there if it could be put to good use?
Well, those are the catastrophic failures, the $500,000
roof. Your roof does cave in or something.
Well, I understood that we had $550,000.
We got another $500,000 over in the budget reserve.
In the budget reserve. I would think that's what that money, catastrophic failure.
So we could use, yeah.
You can. It's that's why I said my goal is to keep $250,000 in the PI fund as an oopsie daisy. But
again, I
understand what you're saying on that
too.
But I got one question. Catastrophic, like if the roof fails and falls in, you've got insurance for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. Well, pay so much.
I mean, you could have a bus that craps out on you too, or a couple buses or whatever,
and replacement.
That would be more of a catastrophic.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. You know what?
Building. They're covered.
Replacement value.
If the building burns down, for example, intermediate burns down, nobody's in it, it just burns down over the weekend, you know, the insurance is going to, they're not going to build as a brand new building. They're going to give you the money for what that was worth. So,
at today's value.
And this is not going to take care of that difference. And I'm not pretending it is. But those are your situations that schools find themselves in. Okay, how am I going to build a new building? You're going to have to finance it anyhow. So, those catastrophic things, we're trying to get rid of those. For example, the boiler. Everybody says, well, if your boiler blows, you got to get a new one. Well, they're right. Just to repair ours is $50,000. So we're saying let's spend $110,000 and cut it all the way off and get rid of that moisture building and put new in.
I think the money is well spent on eliminating the boiler.
Right.
Yeah.
My point is, if we have needs, I think the residents of this district would understand us spending the money to fix, say, a track.
I don't have a problem with that. Like I said, I'm trying to work within this 3-year budget, and you know, you give me a target, and we'll address these priorities as they come. You know, and the track.
So, are you going to explain the flow to us on how it's supposed to operate?
Yeah,
we'll go flow. We're ready for flow.
I've had questions on that from parents, by the way.
Some calls. I might have been on vacation getting calls.
I didn't get any.
Okay. You've got the black and white sheet in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Linson Road. We've got main, and Jim, you can help me when you see me screw up on this, but our main points of congestion are right here and right out here.
Okay.
And it's trying to get in over here, and it's trying as a bus driver to get in over here. That's one item. We're crisscrossing that.
Yep.
And then trying to get out here, and if you want to turn left, it's almost impossible to find it. Okay? One easy answer, and somebody said a light the other day. Well, no, actually, the easy answer is for us to have either an aide or somebody like that that stands out here and can stop traffic. Just like you see in the inner city schools with their stop and go sign, you have it here and one out here. Okay? So that's something that we're looking at. As far as the layout of the facility, if you notice, all the way down through here, I've marked all these out as parking spots. You can see it on your sheet, its entirety. And they're angled. When you angle them, you gain about 1.5 to 2 feet. Okay?
Right now, these come out about 18 feet. Okay? They're 10 feet wide, 18 feet deep. That's so you can park a big truck, SUV, whatever, in those spots. With their angled, you still get the same amount of distance, but it takes up less in the flow area here. Okay? Now, as you go down through here, it forces the traffic as well. If I come in here and I want to park here, I have to back up and go this way. No longer am I going to go like this and try to come here.
You've not seen me drive.
I know. The flow says you can't do it. You're supposed to do this and then come down here. Now what that means is everybody will go all the way down to the bottom of the loop and come back up and then come out. Okay? If you notice, I've got some dots over here. We're going to block off, at the end of the day, this entrance and this entrance. So somebody coming here can't go over here. The only people that can come over here at the end of the day are buses coming in. They're actually going to come in the current bus lane, and instead of going down here, they will come in here and park at angles like this.
Okay.
Okay. Oh,
the buses will angle park. Okay. This right here will hold, I think, 13 buses is what I had. I think we have 10 at each switch.
Yeah.
So if they come in here, we barricade this with the little crosswalk barricades once they get in. And this is always blocked off with those barricades. Nobody can come up through here. And remember, our number one goal was having the kids separated from flow traffic.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, this flow can't get over here. Buses are lined up. Now, what about up here? Originally, I had the concrete barricades put along here, which would take away this row of spots. Then I had Todd proof it for me, and he had an idea from one of their elementaries. He said, don't put them here, put them in the middle. And what that does is, it allows us to have folks parking here, and they can come off of Linson and park here. What we wanted to stop was people coming across here like this. Okay, because now you've got a barricade here, they can pull in straight and park, and they can back out and go either direction that they want. So we don't lose these 16 spots, but we did stop the flow.
Well, and I understand that, but I still think that, of course, are most of those people going to, is that going to be allotted for like teachers and staff that'll be there before the buses get there?
Well,
I think those have to be prioritized before people get here, because you're still going to have that same issue. Nobody's going to be expecting that person to cut in front of them.
Right.
And a teacher's going to want to cut right in front of somebody to get in that spot, and they're going to get hit.
The one thing we had talked about was this right here being office staff and then visitors, and or office staff, visitors, and this for visitors.
So be down.
I can certainly see people backing out though and getting hit.
Trying to back out, right? Well, they do it now.
I know.
You think about it.
Right.
None of this is here, and they're doing it now. What happens? This generally is usually staff, so they're not leaving until after people leave
there
anyhow.
You go.
However, at the bottom, I don't know, Todd, if you can scroll down to it.
Well, good. Wait, stop there before you scroll down.
Okay.
Go back up. What I see here is, with that being a temporary barricade there where the buses are pulling in.
Here.
That's the temporary on the top one. It's a permanent on the bottom.
Right here. This is temporary. These are the crosswalk blocks.
Yeah. What I can see happening here is, during the day, we'll have people pulling in and parking where the buses are supposed to park. And that's where they'll be when the buses get here. Unless you can stop that. So that's the concern I have there, not the top parking. I see people pulling in to where you have designated as bus only and parking there.
Oh, well, right? You got it, yeah.
That's where, it's just like most school districts have. They have a bus drop-off and pick-up zone. And it's zoned, no parking, you can't park there, and you have to regulate it.
You just have to strike that difference so that nobody
vehicles will be towed.
Right. And then we have to do it.
Striping.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the key there, because you still get those people park up beside the building all the time. That's firewood.
Yeah.
We're in violation every time you turn around.
Right.
There's a lot of nights.
One thing that I think might help that too is
there.
Up at the top there is to have that is truly just a visitor in and out, just a quick stop, and that keeps them out of this whole flow down here at the bottom. So that's way people can come in, drop off, run in, run out, not drop off, but you know, do their business, whatever they need to do.
That
I would just like to see that with signage that says, if you park here, we're going to do something to you.
Yeah.
Do you have signage as part of this?
I'm sorry on what you just said.
Up on the top.
Sorry.
No, just because what I mentioned, I guess, but right here, since you've got a barricade here, barricade here, barricade here, so you've got your clearly defined entrance and exit, and you've made spots here. And what this does, because when we were talking, we're saying, okay, well, these people that are going to say Dr. Unger comes from the high school, and he needs to come down here to the central office during the bus flow, when you're having all this drop-off and pickup, he can't get down in here, you know.
Because it's going to be backed up with parents coming
right,
down
and
here.
He can't come in here, you know, because it's going
to
be barricaded off.
I mean,
so this would be a way to allow those people to come in, park, walk in, walk out, and they're not even in this whole scenario. So it's a quick stop. You know, UPS comes, that's where they would
5 minute parking.
You know, 5 minute parking, something like that.
In reality, the way you've got that set up, if you take away the parking lots next to Winston Road, and you make that one row there where you sit by the 16, mm-hmm. make that nothing but visitor parking and handicap parking.
Very good.
There'll be no administrators parking in there, there'll be nobody from the school parking in there. That's all that's supposed to be for is visitors to get in that front door. You have to set aside over there on the west side, Tim, out there right in front of your face. No.
Right there.
That's where your staff's going to have to park.
You realize there's going to be parking on this side and this side.
You can't have parking on that side where you got that barricade.
No. This needs to come off. I couldn't get that off before. The barricade will be in the middle.
But I thought you wanted to keep people from backing into Winston, to Winston Road.
So where's your handicap parking?
And you lose 16 spots.
Handicap parking now is where it says bus only. That's your handicap parking right there.
I think what solved the problem right here with talking about backing onto Winston is having this person here too. It's going to help that flow.
Well, I think having a person on both of those spots where Tim was saying is something we need to do regardless of anything else.
Yeah,
because that should have been done years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
Well, my opinion is those spots that where they have to back out on Linson Road, I think those spots ought to be reserved for your teachers that are going to be here until after the buses are all gone and the majority of that traffic is gone, and that way it's not near as busy.
Where are you going to put any visitors at?
Visitors come that next row. They come down there. Yeah.
But the staff, they're going to be gone after the buses are gone.
And that's what I mean. So make the staff park out front.
There's not enough room for them to park out front.
Well, I know, but some of them should take those spaces up so that nobody else uses them to then create the issue of trying to back out on.
You could say the elementary is going to be parking here, for example.
Right, for example.
Back
right.
Back to Kelly's point, where is the handicap parking going to be?
Handicap parking right now is where bus only is at.
I understand
I was saying
right
putting
now.
Up there where that 16's at.
That's,
right
that's
on the
where
edge.
It would be.
Right, that's what I would say.
Handicap will be up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a comment, Ken?
Sure.
The way you've got your buses angled in,
mm-hmm.
There could be a problem with the buses coming out and making their turn, the tail swing right here, swinging into the side of another bus.
Yeah,
right here.
Well, what if they came in and angled up towards Linson Road instead of angling down towards the school?
That would be better.
I was kind of taking off like
that.
Yeah.
Too.
Like here's why I didn't do that. I wanted the kids getting on at the front of the bus.
Right,
And so your angle. The toughest angle is this bus right here, coming here and coming out that way.
Yeah,
right.
I know a bus driver, you should never let park there.
We got a couple of them.
I was going to say, are we done for sure spots now? Only this bus driver.
Instead of coming in and pulling in this way, they can come in and then pull up this way.
Yeah, but that's what I said. Tim said those kids didn't have to walk all the way between the buses up to the front. Instead of,
what about what
you
Tim's saying?
They come in here, they're getting in right here, but
this
one, that's where they got to walk
first.
All the way.
Yeah, we could do
then
that.
Be fine.
If we started on this
you
side,
here,
the buses
here, 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 here. Then
so
that
the back end comes out first.
Yeah, that eliminates.
Some of those buses, there's a lot of hill swing.
We should designate, obviously, where each bus will be in that.
Number their spot.
I want to point out that before we do anything like this, Sam will be involved, the rest of the administrators will be involved, folks like Jim will be involved. So
yeah.
I don't want us to get too hung up on finer points, like where the handicapped parking is going. We'll figure that out. What I'm trying to get is to show you the full layout, then you guys pick it apart, because I want to walk you through it and see what the
budget
is. Keep going.
I understand the angling the way you have it, Tim, because of the permanent barricade.
Yeah,
you can't have a permanent barricade if you change the way the bus thing faces.
Because if you're coming in here, you're going right across the barricade.
Yeah. But you got to be real careful on a permanent barricade there.
Well,
when I say permanent,
big concrete.
I'm not going to put concrete stuff here. What we're going to do is have the wooden
sawhorses
and put those across here. So because at night or the event parking, you don't want that here. You want to have your spots for the.
I understand that, but.
So, okay, keep moving on so we can keep flowing. But real quick question. Do you have signage included in any of this?
Miscellaneous?
Yes.
Miscellaneous? Okay.
There's going to be more signage. Everybody's going to be like, well, for pizza.
You'll be like, oh, my goodness. You don't have to tell me that, right? Okay.
So, just coming in now through here. Here's your academy. We didn't have any spots marked off here. There's no good reason because during the football games, all we have to do is put cones here, and people won't park there. And during the day, people can park here. Right now, there's no parking spots there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we come on down. I put, if you notice, here's the kitchen right in here. As you come off this kitchen, there's this nook back here by the gym. We've never had anything there. You couldn't, there's no assigned parking either. So when people come for events, they're like, I don't know where the heck I'm supposed to park. And they double park and block each other in. So I took the parking off of here, coming right on down and just keep going with it, right in line with it. You get down into the gym, it stops. And then you have parking on this side for people to just back out and go back out here, okay? Then they join the flow of traffic this way, okay? Trying to gain as many parking spots as we can with lots of movement and flow for people to get in and out, okay? Now, you come on down, and you can see this is really rough, guys. I apologize, but we haven't been able to clean it up yet. That's a good time. This white is the building that is now gone. That's the old storage building, okay? So, we come down here, and here's the doors into the field house, the new doors we just put in. There's parking spots under it. I blocked that out because now what we want to have, you come down through here, and there's a road that goes right down here. Just beyond the field house, we've got parking that's angled all the way down. There's 32 spots all the way down through there. Okay, that's 32 spots we didn't have, so that's a good thing. You come down through here, there's parking also on this side, so you can park either direction. Sorry for the X's, but it is angled this way. So this is a one-way, okay? It's 20 feet wide, plenty wide enough for one-way traffic and for people to back out and go on, okay? It gets kind of rough seeing down here, but this goes all the way down. And then you've got the road that comes down through here, and you can go up through here. You can go on around to the next road up through here. So we actually have three roads. Now, why is that important? Because if we want to eliminate parent pickup and drop-off, backing all the way to Lenson, I've got to have a place down here where they can stack up safely. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean, as Todd pointed out today, that they're picking up down here. They're just coming down, and they're getting in lines here. The pickup is still going to be up here in the drop zone, okay? Right now the drop zone is right in here. So parents are going to come right here and right here, and they're going to wait their turn to work in, to feed up here to pick their child up, okay? So I've got all of this, and all of this, and all of this. Oops, sorry. Where are we going there?
You're fine. I just got down the bottom for you again.
That's feeding right up here to this drop zone, okay? Now, you say, well, they're going to be backed up. Yes, they are. But they're not going to be backed up to Lenson now. So once they pick their kid up, they got a straight shot to get out. Okay? Right now, we got buses trying to get in. We got people trying to get into this line. We got people trying to get out.
Are you going to have somebody coordinate traffic right there, too, at that drop-off spot?
We do now.
We have
two aides that work here for the drop-off. And what they do now is they tell two at a time to come up to get their kids.
Okay.
So what they would do basically is where this merges, they'd be standing out here saying, okay, you come on up, no, you hold up, you come on up, that type of thing.
Okay.
So
that's covered.
So like two at a time up there. More than that, there's too many kids running across the parking lot.
So you don't see parent issues with them merging together in that?
You know, the parents, believe it or not, I've been out there when they picked up. They work pretty well together.
Yeah.
The parents do. I don't see that.
Yeah.
The pickup and drop off parents,
they're
really considered when you think about the way it works currently.
Okay.
Now, the other piece down here is, I told you the 32 spots here, there's spots down along here, and there's spots all the way up here. Okay? That's where we were gravitating to. We can actually park all of the staff on this outer ring out here.
Huh.
There's 79 staff members in this building and that building. If you count up your spots, you're pretty darn close to that here.
Okay, I understand that. Go back up to Winston Road. Now, when you drop off up there, are you going to let them turn left and right?
Well, yeah, if we get those people out there.
Yes, because we've got people out here directing traffic now. Before, it was every man for himself, literally.
I like
all
this.
The people that called us and said, we aren't going to go there if we can't turn left on Linson Road.
Oh, I've had so many people say, you can't stop us from turning left.
All those people,
I told you that would be a problem.
They might face Dan Cutliffe with the stop sign.
That's so we can have that conversation. From okay, turning keep left. Going. Keep going.
So, yes, to answer your question, with this person out here and the traffic flow being regulated, they can easily stop this traffic from coming out and let this flow, or stop this flow and let these guys come out.
Now, that's what the buses drop off in the mornings in the same pattern there.
Yeah. Yep. You'll just come right on in here, same, do the same thing and drop off.
I like this. This is very helpful, this map, by the way, because it gives you a more visual. So when I'm talking to people now and go, hey, look, it's really not a big difference from what you're doing now.
To be honest, Tim did a great job out there with the measurement wheel and marking off and doing this. As shoddy as he thinks it is, it really is a good job for what he did.
It's, my expert on Google Earth has not been here. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, but Joe Penny's mother passed away.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was Friday.
Oh.
So we're trying to get the information on services and things like that. But he turned me on to Google Earth, and that's where this came from. But he's real good about, he can plot all this in. So I did it by hand, but it'll be cleaned up when we do the presentation. But to answer your question, yes, they can turn left and right. But my goal is, there's not many people coming out here. This is just buses and maybe a few people from here trying to get out. But I had these actually angled this way too, so they had to go this way. So, but I think we can't do that if we're going to block this off.
Well, and if you're going to have buses loading there, I don't think those people should be
leaving
while you got kids running around.
Well, I think that was the thought that have the staff there.
Yeah, which
makes
more sense.
And that's kind of what I was saying. I think those spots ought to be taken up by staff or whatever else, so that,
well,
I mean,
in the lower part, but on the upper part, I
upper
think
part
visitors
is
fine.
Visitor. 5
there's
parking
a,
in
there's
out.
A barrier there, a permanent barrier.
But the visitors probably aren't going to come at typically at drop-off time.
Hopefully.
One of the things that the...
But if they did,
I haven't heard you address yet, is the dumpsters that are down by the very bottom of your turnaround. You've got a couple of parking spots that are being used there. Where are those dumpsters going to move to?
Yeah. Right there.
Your dumpsters.
Still got access.
This is the dock right now that's out there that we're not going to take out. Here's the compactor now. The dumpster is right here, and the transformer is right here.
Okay.
This is where it's going to go. The dumpster currently sits over about here.
Yeah.
We're going to move it over here, so it's only taking up this one spot. And then from this dumpster over to here, we're going to yellow that all in, so there's no parking there at all. Because you got a path here, our doorway to our electrical room is down here, the compactor's here, and the transformer's here, and the dumpster's here, so I don't want anybody parking there anyhow.
Now, so your new walk path that you have that you want to put in, where does it come into this play at?
It's right here.
Okay, so you're going to allow a parking spot right in front of that path?
We might take one out there. But
okay.
And we've already got a spot where we can just put a gate in there.
Okay.
Actually, it's a chain fence right now, so we can. It's just that chair. So the thought is, we want to connect in here because here's the doorway going into the intermediate, and you come over here, and that goes into elementary. So if we got a path that connects the parking lot, this
good.
End down here, these folks certainly probably want to park down here. It's closer.
Sure.
But you have to make it convenient for them.
Okay.
That's kind of the game plan right now. They definitely will be turning left and right as long as we've got the folks out there to direct the traffic. But I've got to be able to protect those kids up front, and I think by having our temporary barricades, Joe's got a lot of things he can look at besides just like the crosswalk control forces that we can use. There's things that you can roll out, and they're bright orange. And, you know,
similar to like a aisle line, you know, that has the retractable ribbon in a pedestal, something more of a commercial.
Spring in the summer, but it's good, or spring in the fall, but it's going to suck in the wintertime.
Yeah. Have you considered the ones where you just put a hole down through the asphalt so you can pin them down?
Or stick that pink rod or whatever it is out here?
The main thing we got to figure out is what the layout's going to be, and then we can start looking.
Wintertime's going to suck on those.
Items we need to buy.
Bringing up the winter, there's a cost factor in there that I don't know if we've investigating because, or have investigated, because the filing, I think, will be considerably more. And in the wintertime, going down that slope, we'll probably have to take a little more care. Actually, I think it's worth it, but do we know what the additional costs will be?
We've talked about that. Joe and I talked about it. We knew there would be some increased costs for doing this cleaning of the lot. But it's not going to be substantial because, again, they've already got all the machinery equipment here. And to do this extra 60 feet is not going to be significant. The bigger concern that we had, and Larry and I both have, is now the runoff of all this has just grown dramatically. So this water that could soak in before is running down towards the softball and baseball field. So the one thing we're looking at down here in this corner is putting tile in here that connects into the swell. There's a natural swell that we have over here outside the baseball field fence that runs all the way over to the road. And that's why it kind of drops. Well, that's where that water's been going. This we were concerned about because it was running right towards the field house. So we're looking at putting a tile in here that connects in before we pave it. Another thing we're looking, we actually had the guy come out and quote us on the lights. Remember, that's included. We're going to put one right in here and one right in here. And he feels he can put two on this head and two on this head. And they're the LED super bright that you see like the buyers that's up on 71 going into Columbus. They're on the right. They just put it in. It's so bright at night. He said, that's what you'll have, is two here and two there. And he said, it will light everything back.
It's like daylight out for that.
Nothing clear at the bottom. No lighting clear at the bottom.
He said, you won't need
it. You'll cover it.
He said, it will cover. His goal was to cover from the field house all the way down to here. And he said, two right here in the middle will take care of this. And two over here will take care of the rest of it.
If you haven't been up 71 at night and seen that new show,
okay.
Thing is,
so that's the traffic flow? Really
bright. That's the traffic flow. That's the lighting.
So, any other
questions? When you see the quotes tonight, really what we're talking about as far as the cost is paving this and then putting an overlay over top of it. So they're putting 2 inches down on what we just graveled in, and they're going to put 2 inches across the whole top of it. So it's all seamless. He's going to grind down here, so it's seamless right there as well.
So we're doing this. So has anybody looked at what we need to do to fix this problem up in here? Where are you on the other side of Doolin's house on that curve?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're not out there because you're usually in here early, but you go up there when school's getting ready to come in, and you got people all of a sudden flying around that curve with those people trying to turn right there. I mean, it's not real good where this situation up in here, well, I think we have to put some kind of flasher on back, maybe between or closer to Fisher's.
We can petition the county engineer to do it, but we can't. Not on our property, I can't do it, but I can petition and say, look, this is a dangerous spot. I mean, that's the kind of thing we can do.
Because down in front of the school, there's no problem, because you've got a clean view. Yeah. It's always right up around this curve.
We're talking
about
here.
You know, the girls got the memorial thing. Right there, it's what I've always worried about. Because now you're wanting to put, well, no, you're not, because they're not going to be out on 38, so.
Yeah. The goal is to not have traffic backing up on 38. And the biggest problem we had was the parent pickup backing up to here. And that was causing congestion. So if I get them down here in three rows instead of lined up here, people should be coming in without any problem getting off of Linson, which keeps 38 from backing up.
On Linson, do you have any school zone 20 mile per hour signs with lights?
We're going to do that. That's in the engineers for this next year. So signage, 20 mile an hour?
We're going to get signage on our campus every place we can. The engineer has to do it on the road.
Right, but isn't that, then I see that was in their budget for next year?
I don't know.
The 20 mile per hour? I think it is.
Is it?
I think that I saw that in the engineer's budget for next year.
Now, another thing, lights too, isn't it?
I think lights, yeah, the 20 flashing lights.
Another thing I've always talked about, and my predecessor did not like it, was that's what they're
speed bumps. I'm
sorry?
Speed bumps. My predecessor hated them, didn't want them. I'm not averse to, especially this flow traffic, having, you know, one here and one down below to slow down traffic. Because I've seen a lot of people fly in here, and it scared me to death.
Okay, I'll stop doing that, Tim, if that helps you.
I didn't mention names, Bob.
Okay. We are painting directional arrows for the lanes. Okay.
That's part of the project
now. I just want to make sure. That's good.
So, what do you got? So, you're talking about any given day, you're going to have four aides out there working, basically, or teachers. You're going to have two down here and two on Listen Road.
We have, right now, we have those two down below every day.
Right.
And we have at least three here because. Reading kids every day, getting kids on buses.
So you could do one.
Okay, and then we've got two more that are clearly available for this work.
Good.
One is Pam Cutler. We transferred her from the high school voluntarily down to the intermediate this year, at the end of the year, and she does the traffic direction to high school now.
One other question I wanted to ask you on that: if we petition the county to see if they can put somebody out there twice a day, for us?
They'll charge you for it.
How's London get away with it?
I don't know. They use.
Are they paying for that police officer every day?
City police.
Are they paying for him?
I don't know, but we're talking about the sheriff's department. They've already told us that.
Which is $25 an hour, isn't it? Or is it going up?
I don't know. I can't
probably at least
that.
25.
But we need to have two bodies out there as well.
I don't have a problem with using aides. Put some yellow vest on them and give them a stop sign.
People are supposed to be going 20 miles an hour anyhow. So.
As long as we don't have that kind of winter we had this year.
Exactly. So that is the traffic flow project. I'm going to conclude that for now and let you guys consider the recommendation.
All right. Why don't we move now to new business?
I move upon recommendation of superintendent the board dispense with competitive bidding requirements under OR's High Revised Code 3313.46 by declaring an urgent necessity in regards to the intermediate traffic flow project. The board also authorizes the superintendent to enter into contracts to complete the traffic flow project after receiving at least three quotes from qualified vendors. The urgent necessity exists due to the exposure of students boarding buses after school to oncoming traffic.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, is that all that?
That's everything.
That's everything. My commitment to the board was that harsh blacktop of 139.080 is right now currently the low bid. Unless something happens dramatically between now and tomorrow morning, that's who I'd be going with.
And what kind of warranty are they giving us on this truck?
I'll have to see his quote in the morning to tell you that, to be quite honest. I've been getting the numbers so I could get them to you in front of you, and then I'll look at the.
That's all it's covering is this.
Yeah. No, it's got the work at the high school too, one package.
That's what I'm asking.
It's all that package, but I have to do it all together in order to get the pricing. And our urgent necessity.
Should this say in regards to the intermediate traffic flow project and building improvements?
It's not. It's site improvements, and it's for all the work, which they bundled everything together. The reason why it's an urgent necessity is because of the intermediate
traffic flow.
We're addressing intermediate traffic flow. And that's why I called it. That's the name of the project. But the whole project is the high school and intermediate.
And all it is the parking lot stuff. That's what I'm getting at.
That's it.
Blacktop.
You're asking if it's a test court.
Right. Okay.
Blacktop. That's right.
And the front door.
Right.
They're going to fix that concrete.
That's not
part
within
of this.
That's not within the 139.08.
Okay.
That's somebody else that's going to do the work for us. It'll be under $25,000, which is part of the budget I gave you for site improvements.
We're not voting on site improvements.
No. Just on for the paving project, basically.
Well, yeah, we're going to vote on site improvements on the next one, though.
Yeah.
There you go.
For the HVAC.
That's built. You're right, building approved.
All right.
Okay, any other discussion? Let's call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I move that upon recommendation, Superintendent, the board dispense with competitive bidding requirements under Ohio Revised Code 3313.46 by declaring an urgent necessity in regards to the intermediate HVAC project. The board also authorized the superintendent to enter into contracts to complete the HVAC project after receiving at least 3 quotes from qualified vendors. The urgent necessity exists due to the failed intermediate building boiler and plumbing. The moisture put off by the steam boiler is creating an environment conducive to mold.
I'll second.
Discussion? Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We're going to executive session.
That's only if you need it.
We need executive session tonight? I don't think so.
But I do have a problem on page 4 there. Next meeting date, June 29th.
I did this.
Are we meeting right after this meeting?
I did this agenda this afternoon, so.
Okay. So we will not be going into executive session?
Next meeting date.
Okay. July 9th.
I do have one thing I want to bring up. And I don't care how these guys feel about it. I think they feel the same way I do. I want to have a report from Matt on what needs to be fixed. I want a report from Larry on what needs to be fixed. I'm getting tired of getting blindsided by this crap.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with the...
I want to know exactly where we're at instead of waiting until we have to hear from you.
And if you notice from the last meeting, I'm trying to get those folks that are responsible for those facilities more involved with reporting out.
I mean, you've got a pretty big thing plate in front of you. Things are going to get missed. They need to be bringing that up front and being honest about it.
That's the whole point of the facilities improvement team. That's that list of 75 items, trying to get everything on there that needs fixed, and that's prioritizing.
Because I'm not sure I saw the track on that list of 75.
Well, that was, yeah.
You might have didn't.
I didn't.
Again. I was assuming it was known more easily to try out.
May I show this map with the conditional, it's not finalized yet.
You can use that for however you like.
Yeah, I have not final. Enough people
it's not
talking.
Pretty.
I have enough people talking to me
good.
That if I have a visual, I can say, look, this is our understanding currently. There may be changes.
I want to make sure the board understands that I'm going to put things out there that people may not like, and that's okay because it gets them interested in what we're talking about. Then once they get part of the conversation, I've gotten several recommendations, ideas on the blog
that
I incorporated into tonight.
You know the
so
thing
it's
is,
a great thing.
You put stuff out there, but somewhere there is continuing disinformation being spread among the community. And they call me, and I go, you know, I never heard that in the board meeting.
Yeah,
that's
called Facebook.
And I tell everyone, I'm going to say, go out to the site, listen. You can listen to what's talked about. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yeah, but I was reading it today, and they were talking about having to go out there and hang a right and go to Newport, turn around, and come back. That's all through the public right now.
Right.
Well, I said that might not be a good idea. Look at it, and we did. That's okay. That's what I'm talking about.
We got to vet it all out.
That wrote
right?
That in there. That's what got all the conversation started.
Okay.
I told everybody that talked to me about that is, I cannot believe that will happen. I can't believe you.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't have voted for something
an idea.
Like that.
I'll move to adjourn. Oh.
I'll second it.
Kelly.
Just because you haven't eaten yet.
That's okay. Discussion.
I'm really going to drive a bus. I've had several people ask me about that. Why are they doing that? They're not. That's just something they're talking about. And nobody said, you know, you have to.
You've got to talk about them all.
It
that's
highlighted
good.
That there's a problem.
Yeah.
It made people look at it and say, that's going to be a pain in my rear, and why are they doing that? Well, because we've got a problem out here. We're trying to find a solution. Yeah. So I'm okay with that.
Just kind of like the highlighted the problem you told me about the track tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, highlight it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Hey, that's one I just made.
7:05. You call roll, please.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Dots?
Yes.
Mr. Dots?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
5-0.
All righty.